All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles. And tonight we're going back to 2 Peter, and we're going to begin chapter 2. And as we pick up this wonderful second chapter, let's keep in thought where we left off a couple weeks back in the first chapter in that 20 and 21st verse. We'll go ahead and read that. It says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Its origin, let me tell you something, is from God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And this is God's Word. It's confirmed, it's assured, this is from God, this is by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, given to men. And praise the Lord, He gave us His wonderful Word. Hallelujah. But over these next couple chapters here, we're going to see that there's great emphasis given to being aware and to beware of false teachers and of false doctrine. Things, brothers and sisters, that appear and seem to be so close. Things that appear and seem to maybe feel so right. Feel so good. Beware of that. Really beware of that. A perfect counterfeit, I guess, is maybe what you might be better words for it. But brothers and sisters, anything short of the full counsel of God will rob us from God's best. And I hope you understand that anything short of the full counsel of God will rob us of God's best. His bride is perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, I know that's beyond something I could even imagine or fathom or, Lord, how could I ever get there? But His Word promised if there's a willing heart, He'll take you there. He'll bring that to pass in your life. I don't try to do, I let God, and He performs His perfect will in my life. It's an amazing thing. I was speaking to two young men in the office, and I'm so thankful for the simplicity of the gospel that was brought into my life. We were talking about Jesus and about how do we know about Jesus? How do we grow in Jesus? And you know, you're sitting there trying to describe to someone, you know, how good it is and how wonderful it is and all of this. And praise God, he took me back to that peach. And I said, well, you know what, son? Tell me what a peach tastes like. He says, well, it tastes like this. And he even said, well, it kind of tastes like an orange. I said, so a peach tastes like an orange? And he said, well, no, it doesn't really taste like it. I said, well, how am I going to know about what a peach tastes like? So finally, I kind of had to drag it out of him. And he said, you got to taste it. Well, that's how it is. And praise be to God. That's what he wants here, is this bride is the perfect, complete in all the will of God. And we think about what is the will of God. He said that I would that all men be saved and come to a knowledge, but it's complete is what it means there, a full and exact knowledge of the truth. Okay, now let's go back. Anything short, then, of the full counsel of God will not add up to God's best. It just won't. And we need to understand that. And I think as we lay hold of that, the thankfulness of God in our lives, that He saw you in ages past, that He knew you would have a heart to receive this message, and that He brought us together. At this time, at this place, at this age, that the coming of the Lord could be at any moment. And He's preaching this love message to us. That He's in love with you. He's in love with you. He's smitten. I was just so thankful to speak with one of the brothers today and how beautiful the bride is to the Lord. He can't help but share everything with her. He can't help but take everything that he has and says, it's yours, honey. Your beauty is just too much for me. I have to do it. Praise God. So what a wonderful Lord we have. But as we go into this too, it's going to culminate with Brother Peter. And you think, oh, surprise, surprise. In the third chapter, at the end, he commends paying attention to Brother Paul. Follow that gospel. Lay hold of it. Don't let it go. He's the one that has been given the dispensation of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful that this brother encourages us in that. Now, I don't want us to leave any doubt before we begin this, that these false teachers, these ones that are preaching these falsehoods, even though we will read that they have come to a knowledge of the Lord, they do not believe in the Lord as Savior. And there's a huge difference. And some have twisted this to be Christians that have fallen away. But I believe as we go through here, the Lord will make that clear to us. And I think one of the most striking things that jumps out at me is we'll see that he calls these false prophets, he calls them beasts, he calls them dogs. I don't ever recall him calling his children a beast or a dog. Now, we're all worthy to be called that in a lot of senses, you know what I'm saying. But you know what, as a child of the King, he calls us his sheep. Praise God. So let's just stay with that. I think that's important to have in mind as we talk about when we study the Word of God, know who is speaking. We've got Brother Peter speaking. Who's being spoken to? Obviously, he's speaking to Christians. But what is really being spoken about? He's talking about false teachers that are out there that are false teachers that are not saved. These are not Christians. All right, so let's get into verse 1 here of chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. So here we go. It's not that there might be, but there will be. Wolves in sheep clothing, brothers and sisters, they're here. And there's no doubt about it. And we had better have on the full armor of God. And it's important. Pieces of it is a great thing, but we need to have the full armor of God. We need to be, as the Scripture points out, these Berean saints who Paul did commend. Because why? They searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. They rightfully divided the Word of God. They knew that truth. And brothers and sisters, we do need to be careful what we hear. We do. How many times over and over in this meeting did our dear Brother Hill warn us, don't eat out of the garbage can? Why do you sift through all of that junk to get one morsel of something when you have the ability to go eat at the King's buffet? And that's the truth. Now, some people don't like to hear that, but you know, a lot of people don't like to hear the Word of God. And I can't help that. But by the grace of God, as I was encouraged on that trip, devil tries to get at you in a lot of different ways. And it was, son, just be still, know that I'm God. Get back there and preach the Word. Just preach the Word. We're going to be fine, son. I take care of everything. So, is it the Word or is it man's opinion that we're going after? See, we need to be careful what we hear and who we are receiving direction from, and it better be the Word of God. And in this, the Lord is going to alarm us to eight characteristics, eight, as we'll go through, of these characteristics of these false speakers, and we'll read these through verse 19 here. And the call for every one of these characteristics is to get away, to flee from it. Because a bit of truth smeared in with lies. And it's sweet because Brother Copley called it intermingled doctrine. And I'll just break it out. And intermingled doctrine is just bits of truth that's smeared in with a bunch of lies is deadly. We heard the phrase many times, good God, good devil, good everybody. See, that's what it finally turns into. It does. I don't want to be neither hot nor cold. I want to be on fire for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when it's good God, good devil, good everybody, what's going on there, brothers and sisters, is we're just satisfying our carnal ways. It's just a way to satisfy our fleshly wants. And it's a deadly, deadly foe to God's children. Compromise. Neglecting so great salvation. It's deadly. It's deadly. It's robbed many of the crown that once was theirs. And you know it. Brothers and sisters, God forbid we ever get complacent with His truth. God forbid we would ever not hold dear this wonderful Word and its love message that He's pouring out to us at this time. It can never grow old. Never grow old. When you're in love, I mean really in love, that love, it doesn't grow old, it grows stronger. It grows in length and breadth and depth and height. And that's what the love of God does. It truly makes you love everybody. It makes you want to get around the people of the Lord. It makes you want to come to church. It makes you want to get into the things of God and to allow the testimony of the Lord to encompass your life. But again, by grace, may we ask Him to only have itching ears for the truth. Because Satan is out at this time. He is out to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we know that. The Word of God tells us that. He knows that he has but a little while. But the Word of God has called us to stand. Not to just be pushed over and start compromising and being willy-nilly about everything. But it says to stand and to withstand. And then, having done all, stand. There's reasons for that. Because it's coming at us. It's coming at us wave after wave. People have asked me many times, or I should say said to me many times, oh, I wish I would have lived in the day of Moses, or I wish I would have been able to experience this. Let me tell you something. We're living in the greatest time and the greatest age of the greatest faith that there's ever been. You should be so excited. Moses, I'm so thankful for that life. And Elijah and Ruth and Esther and all of the different ones. But praise be to God what He is building and wants to build. He's out there looking for the goodly pearl that we were singing about. The greatest of faith. And it's the time that the greatest of faith is going to lay hold upon the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in this day and age. Praise be to God. You don't realize, I don't realize what a privilege, truly privilege it is to be here with the Lord at this time. So let's go ahead and get into the very first one here in that first verse. It says the damnable heresies. Now, damnable heresies, it means destructive choices. The devil has an unlimited table full of lies. Just like our wonderful Lord has an unlimited table full of fruit and benefit and profit and promises and everything for us, the devil has his table and it's full of lies. And if we have itching ears, brothers and sisters, for anything or something else than the truth, I'll guarantee you the devil has a special, specific lie just waiting for you. And he does. Well, I don't want that, Lord. I think it should be this way. And I'm telling you, the devil will serve it right up on a platter for you. And it'll be there. And a lot of times we think, well, see, that was just sin. See, it was just meant to be. I don't like meant to be. I like all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, it's burning inside me. Well, that could just be heartburn. I don't know. But I hear that a lot. It feels good. It's got to be by faith. What does the Word of God tell us? We'll get lost real quick. And sin will begat sin. And praise God, faith begats faith, begats faith. I love it. And glory the same way. And that's what God is calling us to, is this wonderful faith and truth and love in Him. So, when we go after these lies, when we want something else from the truth, we understand these are destructive choices. And destructive choices will always be a part from God's Word. And destructive choices will always lead us down destructive paths. And even though as a Christian I can never be separated from the love of God, I can live a life that can be separated from blessing. You can. All the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ are mine. I understand that. But if I'm not yielding to God and allowing Him to bring those into my life, I can use families, for example. I can use a lot of different things. I deal with people every day, including myself before the Lord. Don't let me raise these children in fear. I do not want to be afraid of my children. Perfect love casts out all fear. And the Lord told me to stand in there, son. You get in that battle. Tell you what, a passive life for a Christian, it's anything but. You best be a fighter, because you're fighting the good fight of faith. Or you're not fighting. And let me tell you something, you stand in it. And you do. He fights your battle. You know that. But let me tell you something. He's told you to stand and to stand in defense of this wonderful gospel. But I was thinking there too, in that destructive path, you think about those Galatians that Brother Paul said to him. He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect by the flesh? All right? Now you see, the devil can take you any which way you want to go once you step out from the Word of God. Oh, you want to go, you're going to go the path of sin. We know that. So do you want to go, in a sense, the flesh, and we'll go over here, and, you know, we can take you all the way down the fleshly way, or I can get you self-righteous, which will appease to your flesh again, too. Or I can get you with pride, or I can get you because somebody did you wrong, and I can get you with bitterness. He'll get you any way that he can. So brothers and sisters, it goes back to one thing. We're without excuse because we have the Word of God. And it keeps us and it sustains us. And by His grace, may it always draw our hearts back to that, you know what, it is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting the good fight of faith. Because I'll tell you, when we're standing in faith, and in faith is the confidence of His love for me. That's what faith really is. It's His undying love. You ever really thought about it? It's not my, in a sense, I've kept the faith. Yeah, it's not mine. It's the faith that is in His love. His love, not just for mankind, but for me. He sees me. And I say, Lord, you love me like that. I can believe in you. I know you're working all things together for my good. I understand that. I see these things. I do. I see Him with the eyes of the Spirit in this wonderful Word of God. And that's when He brings that peace that passes all understanding to us, brothers and sisters. It is so wonderful. But see, we don't want to be caught into those that are ever learning and never coming to a knowledge. We want to seek to know God. And what He's saying here in this first verse is to beware. Because bad choices, believe it or not, can even lead us to denying that it was the Lord that saved you. I've been in this meeting long enough to see it. I have. And but for the grace of God, there go I. I'm right there. I'm capable of anything. You are too. But the one thing I am capable of by the grace of God is there's enough grace there to yield to Him. And to say, Lord, keep me from it. I don't need to go that way. Don't. And my heart hurts to see ones do that. And you know what? It always aligns up perfectly with the Word of God because they made destructive choices. And anything apart from faith, and faith is the hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it's going to be a destructive choice. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how pretty she is. I don't care how much money you're going to make in that new job. If it is not in faith, you've made the wrong decision. And it will be a destructive thing to your life. We need to understand that. God wants us to understand His love for us. Galatians 2:20 wasn't kidding. You're crucified with Christ. You died with Him. Praise God. And the life you live, I'm telling you, it's by faith in His Son. It's the only life you've got. Can't go back, can't redo. Thank God I can't. I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. I am His. Now, if I just grow in it, what a wonderful time that we have in His love and faith in His love. All right. But in these bad choices that, as the Word tells us here in this first verse, that can even lead to denying that the Lord saved you, I'll give you a couple examples. You think about some of these different religions that have been around a long time. Denominations, I'll even call them. You think about Martin Luther. Passed down the Lutheran church. Whether it was the Methodists, Brother Hill used to talk about his daddy. You go into those churches anymore, you will not find in any of their hymnals any songs about the blood of Jesus. It's gone. And it is true. There might be some here and there, but I'm just saying how it is. They've taken Jesus out of everything. The only time you hear Jesus anymore in this old world is in slang. But see, that makes me excited because I see how close we are. Good God, good devil, good everybody, it is here. They have a form of godliness. Oh, it's all around. Oh, I'm godly, I'm religious. And don't question me. I'm not questioning you. I just know the Word of God convicts you. That's all I can say. If you want to have a conversation with me, it's going to come up because you know what? The Spirit of the Lord's here. I'm not going to jam it down your throat. I'm not going to hit you in the head with it. And it's funny and it's amazing how many people that don't want to hear anything about the Lord will start talking about God to me. And that's the truth. And you know what I'm talking about. And they'll bring it up. Well, you know, I've got a reserved, I had a man tell me today, I got a reserved seat in hell. Oh, do you? Well, you just might. Oh, and I'm not afraid of that and everything. I said, well, you might not be. Well, what do you think of that? And I said, well, hell's just a temporary place. He says, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, I'm not afraid of hell. I wouldn't be afraid of hell really either if I were you. The thing I really would be afraid of, though, is the lake of fire that God has appointed to put everything in hell in. Now, God's not going to be mocked. It's not going to happen. And we understand that. Okay, now that's far apart, you're saying, Jess. I mean, now you're talking about a sinner. I'm talking about what God's dealing with us with. To me, it's the same difference when we don't adhere to believing the Word of God and what He has given us. I mean, it's amazing what He's opened up in His Scriptures that we can rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ, co-heirs, His bride, someone that He is going to make known to all that He has loved her. And I don't believe you enough. And I don't. And I'm thankful He causes my heart to want to believe Him more. And to want to believe Him more. And not to stop. And not to draw back in unbelief. Say, God, I love you so. I don't want to. It's not letting you down. It's not that. It's so much beyond that. It's your great love for me. And this is as simple as it is, son. Just take of what I've done. What I've said. That is so true. That's yours. It's already completed and finished. That if you just lay hold of it, son, that's what pleases me. It's impossible to please me without faith. Thank God for that. But here we go. In one generation, brothers and sisters, it seems like people move away from the very power of the cross. We try to put the blame on so many other things. We try to figure out, well, the reason I'm not here is because so-and-so said something about me. We've heard that before. Well, you don't realize what happened in my past. You don't realize the scars and the baggage that I'm carrying around. You don't understand the biological problems that have been running through my... I don't! But I know who does. And I know He said one thing. He said, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I was thinking of my dear brother out there that was giving us that dissertation on light. And I still carry it today, brother. I want you to know that. That it's the absence of light that brings in the darkness. And it's true. Absolutely. It's the absence of this Lord just increasing in my life and flowing in my life that brings those dark times in. You see? And in Him, there is no darkness. This isn't. Everything's revealed. It's known. He didn't say, I'm going to understand everything. Oh, no. But He did say, he that cometh to me must believe that He is. And I find that awfully simple. I find that awfully comfortable. I just say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming. And I'm invited. And you told me to come boldly. And I'm so thankful that God's persuading us that way. Let's go on to verse 2. Boy, there was a lot in verse 1, wasn't there? All right. We could never even scratch that surface. Praise God. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So the second one here is pernicious ways. Pernicious even sounds bad, doesn't it? It is bad. It means utter destructive ways of immorality. Utter destructive ways of immorality. And why? It tells you right there. Reason. Man's mind. It's defiled. It's corrupt. It's apart from God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Whom the way of truth, it says here, is evil spoken of, they turn the truth into a lie. You'll find that in Romans 1. Mentioned that many times. When you quit giving God the glory and you quit being thankful, you're in trouble. You are absolutely in trouble. Go back. Many times I read Romans 1. Lord, make me more thankful. I don't want any of this in my life. I just want to be thankful for what you're doing in my life. We can resent a bunch of things. I can look at somebody else's life and say, well, they never had to go through this. God dealt me a bad hand. No, He didn't. You're here tonight. He dealt you the most wonderful hand you could ever have. He's given you the hand of His Son. That's the truth. You going to accept it? You going to say, Lord, I'll go. Huh? Praise God. I believe there are hearts saying, I'll go. Now, you remember the Corinthians study. This is a great example of this one. These pernicious ways, immoral ways. Remember them? Remember them that were taken to wife, their own stepmoms? Remember them, the ones that were running amok with the gifts? Oh, my gift's better than yours. Huh? I can speak in tongues louder than you. Huh? I'm not kidding how silly and weird it can get. Remember, they had feasts that they were coming in there for communion, and they turned into sexual debauchery like that. Know it. And know this, that but for the grace of God, there go we too. Yeah, God keeps us from that stuff. Hallelujah. His Word protects us. It's our protection. Are we contorting the truth, brothers and sisters, to satisfy our flesh? It's a big one. Are we contorting the Word of God to satisfy our lifestyles? People are doing that today. They're trying to make things that are acceptable. That is sin. We've talked about it before. I thank God for my liberties. And I have liberties that you don't have, and you have liberties that I don't have. But one thing about our liberties, none of them are sin. You do not have the liberty, in a sense, that liberty for sin. The grace of God has covered the multitude of sin in my life. I understand that. But liberties are different than sin. When we believe that a sin is a liberty for us, it can be a sin that can consume us. And then that sin could be something that reigns in our life. That Brother Paul said, don't let sin reign in your life. And sure, you've never been separated from the love of God as a child of the King. But I'll tell you what, you just let go of that crown which you were to hold fast that no man would take it. We need to understand what God is dealing with us and what level He's dealing with us, brothers and sisters. She doesn't leave her first love. She doesn't. There's nothing before Him. There isn't. There's a bond, a union that He's brought together. There's a oneness. And there's the love of God that just keeps us in that, and it's all by His grace. But brothers and sisters, we don't realize that apart from God, how evil we would be. And I'm beginning to see, as the Word of God continues to open in my life, how wicked, oh wretched man that I am. But what's happening in this world right now is they're turning it on the Christians. They really are. They're telling us that we are hateful because we will not accommodate and accept their sin. It's here. It is. By God's grace, may we always be appalled. May we always hate the sin. The sin. Not the person, but the sin. Absolutely. Praise God. Let me tell you, by the grace of God, I'm so thankful. As I was just really having such a sweet time away, I really don't know how he did it. I was speaking with a brother in the office today, and I guess under the same kind of lines, but I love people like never before. Absolutely no comparison. And especially the people of the Lord. The Lord put a love in my heart. And the thing that I've found out is as that love continues to grow more and more, and the love for souls, the hatred of sin grows more and more too. Because I know what it does to live in godly. It destroys it. And it gets in there. And it gets in there in all these different ways. And it hurts my heart because of, especially with families. I'm asking the love of God to constrain me right now. But I know how dear and precious a family can be. Was raised in a family where a mom and a daddy loved one another and loved their children. And I'm thankful to God that I'm convinced to observe the faith of the fathers. And I had a mom and a dad that loved the Lord. And especially I had a mother that dedicated her home to the Lord and stood in the gate and said, it's not going to be that way. And said that, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it's going to get uncomfortable sometimes because you don't want to do that all the time. And we're going to rejoice in the things of God. And I had a wonderful pastor, and you did too, that said, you know what, sons, you're getting older and you're welcome to come back and live in my home. But if you're not going to church, the door's right there and you can go find your place somewhere else. Now, people can look at that and say that's harsh. I say you better wake up. Look at what's going on in this world today. Look what's going on with our society today. How out of control it is. The evil of man is waxing worse, and I'm excited because Jesus said, that's when I'm going to come. But I don't want to see the evil of man waxing worse in the people of God. Don't. And especially of the household of faith where I go to church. Don't. God has called us out. God has shown us His plan. He's given us His blueprint. He's bestowed faith upon us to lay hold of Him that we are more than conquerors in Christ who loves us. Yes, we will make mistakes. But I don't have to lay in defeat and be conquered by sin and lay there in a hopeless stupor and watch the devil just run it in and out of my home. Don't want that. And God doesn't want that in our homes. Jesus. But by God's grace, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to accept the world's forced acceptance of fornication, the world's embracing of adultery. They make it seem fun. I look at the papers and it seems like that's the headlines, is to see who was sleeping with who. And not to make light of it, and who didn't have their clothes on this morning, and all of these types of things. I'm not going to embrace homosexuality. Not going to do it. No. I'm not going to embrace racism. I'm not going to embrace the hatred that's out there. I'm not going to embrace all of those things that are going to try to cause division. And the division that's trying to be caused is the division between me and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-mm. No. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? I like the faith of the fathers. How about you? I always love a good victory dance. Praise God. All right, let's get going. Verse 3. You can see how this could get to preaching at you. And I already preached at you, so we'll leave it there. All right, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers not. Like that. See, and here's the third one, and the third way that they do it. Empty, dead babblings motivated by greed. Greed. The love of money is the root of all evil. I don't know what the greed is here. It could be money. It could be fame. It could be crowds. It could be ego. I don't know what it is. But let me tell you something. We're in a time that they'll say anything, they'll do anything to get what they want. And you know it. It's just here. And we're in that time. And it seems as if, as the Lord was bringing this to me, as Christians even, let's be honest with ourselves. It seems like we give more allegiance to movie stars and talk show hosts and motivational speakers than we do the Word of God. Come on. And I mean it. I hear people quoting these things. I get emails that people get from talk show people, and I sit there and I think, shame on you. Now, that doesn't mean not send me an email. I get hundreds of them a day, and it's a wonderful thing. I love to hear from you, and I mean that. I don't want to use the word think, because that's bad. But live in faith. My goodness. Come on. There's enough garbage being flown around all over the place. Let's get the things of God. You start smelling the garbage, get away from it. Get away. Well, that's a cute saying. I'm telling you, it better be promoting the things of God or we're wasting our time. But if we wake up and really understand where these things have taken us, maybe I had too much time to meditate on the things of the Lord up there. You're in trouble. But I was thinking of that Dr. Spock. That doctor has delivered us up a generation that's going to have to be destroyed. That's the truth. It's about here. Absolutely. And really, I don't want to give too much credence to the different ones, but we could go on and on of the ones that we put on pedestals today that spew forth the anti-God messages that we need to get rid of, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's the truth. And I understand you might have people that are entertaining, but let an entertainer be an entertainer. Really. Okay? And that can go for preachers too. One time, I'm actually getting more affectionate to motivational speakers. At least they have the moniker motivational speaker. Right? Instead of, I'm a pastor of so-and-so church, and I'm just hiding because I'm just a motivational speaker. And what are they motivating towards? They're motivating away from, I'll tell you that, the things of God. And they'll tell you very clearly, we don't preach doctrine here anymore. People don't want to hear that. Word of God told me that. But He also said, get that doctrine. Hold it fast. Praise God. Embrace it. Preach that word. The necessity of faith. See, that's the problem. We're not growing up in the things of God. That's the problem with Christianity. We have so many babes running around, excited about things, but after there's so much excitement and babies running around, they either get tired, they get fussy, they cry, and they have all these needs. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, that's what He wants us to do. Lay hold of His truth and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll hurry on. But I'm not fearing. I want you to know that, brothers and sisters, because as it says there in the end of that third verse, judgment's coming. See, they think they're getting away with it. Huh? And see, that was these Jews here that Peter was dealing with. They were murmuring. Remember, don't go too far away. Remember in the first chapters of the first book of Peter, they were murmuring because of the suffering that they were under. Well, Lord, when are you going to bring judgment? You just be still. Don't worry. God's not going to be mocked. It's coming. And it is coming. They think they're getting away with it, but judgment is coming, and what a day it will be, because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. And I'm thankful that that is running through my heart and on my tongue more and more all the time as I see the wickedness more and more. The boldness to speak out against the things of God. The boldness to ridicule Christians. The boldness to insult people that profess the name of Jesus. Amen. Every knee, every tongue, that He is Lord. And I still, by the grace of God, because of His divine love, I still would hope that you'd give your heart to the Lord. Because I'd sure rather do it now. Because when you do it then, it is too late. Because that lake of fire, unimaginable pain, darkness, isolation from God, oh, that awaits. And His word is so true. I'd like to go ahead and read ahead just through verses 4 through 6 before we close tonight. I think these examples that He gives us here of this judgment, I think are very pertinent, and we can touch on these very briefly. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, now think of this, He spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Now, the fourth verse there is speaking of the third of the angels that went with Satan. Remember when there was that division? A third of them made a real bad decision. And some of them have already been cast into chains and into hell. And I just think about this and say, His judgment judges everything. And it does. And praise God, He's judging you for a reward. You can sleep real well tonight. Jesus, You're judging me for a reward. Praise God. Hallelujah. And some will be judged of sin. But thank God that doesn't happen in my life. Hallelujah. And then in verse 5, it mentions there that sweet ark and such a type of the moment that we're in, brothers and sisters. He judged the world at that time of their unrighteousness, and He's doing that again. And praise God, He's even going to spare some from the tribulation. Isn't that exciting? Oh, I love to think of that. Being delivered by the ark. Hallelujah. My sweet Jesus. Even before the tribulation, prior to it, hallelujah, the out-resurrection. Go ahead and rejoice in Philippians 3:11. And then, ever reminding us of Sodom and Gomorrah. See, He brings that back. Ungodly and ungodliness will not go unpunished, brothers and sisters. And we will say it again, God will not be mocked. You don't have to worry. Vengeance is mine. I will repay us, saith the Lord. He's going to do it. Even in our own little lives, when we think we've got to lay it back on somebody, you don't need to do that. He even said it, do this, do good unto them that despitefully use you. They're digging the pit for you to fall in. There will be satisfaction because God said they'll fall in it. Do good unto them. It's like heaping hot coals of fire on their head. Oh, all the benefits toward me. Huh? And it is true. Praise God, it's true. I pray He continues to get a hold of our hearts more and more with His such... there's divine godliness. There's so much godliness in all these different... And there's practical godliness. I love to live that practical godliness when He can bring that into our lives. But see, Brother Paul was so encouraged to tell us to not let sin reign in our lives. Just because it's around us, and it is around us, doesn't mean that it needs to reign in our lives. And just as we read here, you see the complete devastation that that sin did to those cities. Sin will completely devastate a life, and it does. Now, sin may have a great hold in something in your life right now. I don't know. But God. And you know what? I'm encouraged to tell you, really, tonight's the night. It is. There's nothing hard for Him. You know, it really, Lord, now we're back to the beginning. Lord, help my unbelief. Now, if He was, oh, it's not that easy. Well, it is for Him. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. And He says, His word works effectually in them that believe. How much longer do we want to live under that oppression? Didn't He say, whom He's made free is free indeed? Don't you love the freedom? Oh, I'm so thankful. I was, again, talking to those young men today, and I'm thankful that God is dealing with their lives so. And I know that there's young people out there that think that they're free when they're taking drugs, and that they're free when they're running amok in the world, and we're free when we're not listening to mom and dad, and we're free when we're not taking care of our children, and we're free when we're not loving our wives. Don't be under that bondage. You're in chains. God has made you free. He's made you so free. I'm excited tonight how free I am in Jesus. The power of His might. The Pentecostal power. Our dear sister that's had a burden to pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. I have a prayer that the Lord has put on my heart. Is, Lord, let us be overflowing in that Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil suppress the Spirit in your life. Really. Man, let that Spirit be exercised in everything. Man, I mean it. That Pentecostal power. A few days ago, I'll just give you a testimony. I was driving home. I was driving somewhere. And I was by myself, so see? And I don't know what came over me. But I was almost afraid to drive. I didn't feel like I could do anything. I felt like I was locked up. Maybe anxiety, is that what they call it? Huh? I see too many heads going, yeah, I know that one. And I started praising the Lord. Yeah. Speaking in the tongue of men and angel. And I could drive just like Mario Andretti at that moment. I didn't have any fear. I didn't have any anxiety. It was gone. And I don't know how He's going to test me and try me in all these different ways, that He's going to allow it to happen. But you know the one thing? I know He's for me. And I know He's for you. The just shall live by faith, huh, brothers and sisters? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You and just praise You, Lord, for Your wondrous love. Lord, help us to understand how much You love us. Help us to see more and more of it every day. We will be a thankful people when that happens. God, help us to be people that want to live for You. Give us a desire by Your grace to give our life to be yielded to the things of God. We know that we're in a great fight, Lord, but we also know that on that cross, it is finished. Thank You for the victory. Thank You for the promise. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.